My name is Logan McKay. I'm an entrepreneur, marketing expert, and business consultant for several Fortune 500 companies. I built a reputation for doing whatever it took to provide my clients with incredible value, no matter what, legal or otherwise. Years ago, I was contacted by Apollo Global, an investment company interested in acquiring the Chuck E. Cheese restaurant chain. The board of directors wanted me to put together a report analyzing the company's internal operations from a strategy perspective to see if it was worth making the acquisition. What I uncovered was shocking, to say the least. My first order of business was to analyze where the company was purchasing their wide array of animatronics and figure out if that was a division that could be downsized to decrease overhead. This was when I found out about a mysterious event from the early 1990s. That the company had tried to keep under wraps. During the incident, apparently a couple locations were forced to close down due to patrons displaying erratic behavior after being in close vicinity to their animatronics. I immediately knew that this was something I needed to look into. I contacted the company who designs their animatronics, an organization called Extraordinary Engineering. Upon contacting them, I was immediately met with a curt woman's voice. I asked to speak to the owner, a man named Mark Monroe, and she said I could schedule an appointment. However, he was all booked up for the next few months, as well as all of his subordinates that I could set meetings with. So I decided to try and explore a different avenue. I began researching online and saw that the company didn't just design animatronics. Their portfolio included work for Disney's virtual experiences, Nintendo, and even cell phone apps. I actually found a regular tour of their facility too, and decided to join in on one to see if I could figure out anything that way. The company was located in a somewhat shady area, but had a very large facility, which was probably why they were located there. I briefly visited multiple times, waiting to find a large group going through before I'd join. That way, I could potentially sneak off without even being noticed. Eventually, I came in and there was a school group there with about 10 elementary school students and a couple of chaperones. That was the perfect time. Our tour guide was an unnecessarily chipper woman who smiled so much it seemed like she might tear a seam in her skin. She started the tour by showing us their currently operating facility, which was a large open hall with several people working on VR headsets. It felt strange though, not like a normal tech place. There was this orderliness to it all, like everyone was all business. We were then passed by this very tall, thin man in a suit, who walked by and headed towards this set of steel double doors. He entered a 6-digit code into the keypad beside the door that I instantly memorized. I guess I have a bit of a photographic memory, which seems to come in handy quite often. On the other side of the door, I caught a brief glimpse of an animatronic bear, so I knew that I needed to get in there. After a few minutes, the tour went around a corner, giving me an opportunity to sneak away. I hurried back to those double doors and entered the code, jolting them open. Inside was this giant storeroom housing rows and rows of decrepit animatronics in various states of disrepair. They had all kinds of them. Members of the Rockafire Explosion Band from Showbiz Pizza, pirates from Pirates of the Caribbean, and tons of different Chuck E. Cheese animatronics. As I strolled down one of the rows, I ran into an arm that was sticking out into the aisle. It was attached to this creepy Ronald McDonald animatronic, who had a missing face. As I continued, I began to feel that the company must make shoddy animatronics. Why else would they bring so many of them back to their warehouse for repair? Unless that wasn't what they were doing with them. I then heard a set of doors from the opposite side of the room. I saw that same tall man from before. He was with another man in a lab coat and a security officer with a pistol at his side. They were wheeling something on a standing dolly. I ducked down behind this Chuck E. Cheese animatronic as they slowly came down my aisle. I could finally see what was on the dolly at that point. It was a young boy with a shaved head and a mouth guard on. He looked terrified and was locked to the dolly with steel handcuffs. They rolled him up in front of the Ronald McDonald animatronic and stood him upright. The man in the lab coat strapped a blood pressure meter onto the kid's arm and attached a few electrodes to his scalp. The tall man then covered Ronald McDonald's eyes, which seemed to spring him to life. The boy screamed and shook from under his restraints. Ronald McDonald looked around the room in a daze, very lifelike. Then the tall man snapped his fingers and focused the robot's attention on the boy. It eerily gazed down at the kid and began to buzz while creating this low-pitched sound from its mouth. The kid suddenly stopped screaming, and the man in the lab coat checked his vitals again. He looked at his watch, then wrote something down on his clipboard. The boy laid there, unconscious, then quickly awoke and began to scream again. Only this time it wasn't in fear, it was anger. The kid began to lunge so hard against his cuffs that his wrists began to bleed. He also bit down on his lip and blood dripped from there as well. The man in the lab coat then injected him with something, putting him back to sleep, and they slowly wheeled him out of the room. The lights then shut off behind them. I looked down at my phone and saw that there was no service, but at least I had my flashlight to guide me out. As I slowly made my way down the aisle, each of the animatronics began to move around. As I walked by, their eyes lit up, and their heads would turn and follow me. I started walking very fast, but by the time I got to the front doors, there was this gorilla animatronic standing in front of them, a broken, twitchy head hanging to its side, shaking violently. I turned and ran down another aisle, but at the end of that one, I was met with this huge animatronic dog that was repeatedly barking and jumping back and forth. Then both of the animatronics began to fumble towards me. Closing in from both sides, they left me nowhere to go. I backed up into the row of animatronics and was grabbed by an Easter Bunny one. Each of the animatronics then began to vibrate, just like the Ronald McDonald had before, and stared at me, making that horrifying sound. These intrusive thoughts began to rush into my head, almost making me lose consciousness, when the lights suddenly turned on. The animatronics all seemed to slow down and turn their head to the end of the aisle. Interesting how they prefer to hunt in the dark, isn't it? Mark Monroe, the CEO of Extraordinary Engineering, was standing at the end of the aisle, with two security guards behind him. They were programmed to appear less lifelike in the light, so that they don't spoil the illusion. He approached me and extended his hand, offering to help. The giant bunny released me from its grasp. The animatronics then began to slowly make their way back to their places in the row. Strangely, Mr. Monroe did not seem all that upset by what I'd seen. He had somehow been briefed on who I was, and apparently really wanted my client's acquisition of Chuck E. Cheese to go through without a hitch. So he offered me a free pass. If I didn't mention what I'd seen that day, and gave his company my stamp of approval, I could walk free, enjoy the fruits of the deal. However, he told me that if I ever did mention what I saw there, that he would have no choice but to inform his superior, something he referred to as the apparatus, and at that point there was nothing he could do for me. Not really seeing any other way out of there alive, I took the deal. The acquisition ended up going through and everyone involved was handsomely rewarded, including myself. However, every night since then, I've thought about that kid handcuffed to the dolly and wondered how many more people were strapped to that thing after him. That is why I'm here today admitting what I know. I contacted the authorities and told them my entire story, ready to face the consequences. but the message would only get up so high before being stomped out by some paid-off bureaucrat. And traditional news media was about the same. So I decided to release the story online. I think that's the only way the information can get out to the masses without being stifled by somebody in the company's pocket. I know they'll try to silence me for what I've said, but perhaps enough people will hear about this first, before it's too late. Hey, it's Mr. Freaky. I hope you enjoyed this original creepypasta. I wanted to remind you guys to please like the video and subscribe to my channel if you haven't done so. Also, leave me a comment about the direction you think this story should go in next. Who knows? Maybe that's what'll happen. Have a horrific evening, and remember to stay spooky, my friends.